Well, hey, everybody, it's Chuck. Welcome back. Well, we are in the Cybertruck today, and we are going to do a drive on FSD Supervised 13.2.5.1. This was a point release that was released yesterday morning early, and I did my first impressions drive on the Model Y yesterday. It did not go so well. First time I'd really had any significant disengagements in a while, especially on version 13, but I had three yesterday. Not to say that my N of one is any sort of testament that it's not unsafe, but I just saw behaviors I hadn't seen before. So in any case, this is my first drive in the Cybertruck, and I'm actually going to the service center. The service center is a nice distance away. I've got the cameras mounted. Maybe I'll talk about what the service center appointment's about on the way. But anyway, the release notes, just for those of you that are curious, nothing changed. This is old news now. The included items on 13.2.5.1 stayed the same, and upcoming improvements stayed the same. So nothing new there. So yeah, let's get going. We are going to do a right-hand turn out of my unprotected left, not a left-hand turn. And I do not see FSD supervised available. Did something change there? Nope, it's still there. So I guess it's just not caged. The cars are going around me as I'm kind of going slow here, and I'm not necessarily hogging the road, but I'm definitely a big truck in the road and these tight turns here. So I'm hoping I'm going to get the steering wheel here in a second before we do this unprotected left. Otherwise, I might need to drive a little bit. Interesting. What's going on here? No steering wheel. No steering wheel. I'll press it. Nothing happens. Auto steer temporarily unavailable. I'm just going to kind of drive around and see if it needs to cage itself. GPS accuracy, look at this. Yeah, see my GPS kind of coming over here? It's not actually on the road. And there's my steering wheel. So I'm going to go ahead and engage it here, which will actually force it to do a U-turn in this cul-de-sac. Let's see if it does this okay. Yeah, I think it's got the radius of turn it needed. It went right and then left, and that'll be fine. We know the Cybertruck can't reverse yet. So had it gotten stuck, I would have had to intervene until we get that reverse capability integrated. And then we'll just kind of come up here to the stop sign. We'll take a right. And didn't really give my neighbor as much room as I'd liked there. And then we'll be doing a unprotected right-hand turn into traffic. I'll go ahead and go to full screen view for this. Got a car in the median out there that we do need to honor in case it was doing a U-turn, right? There's our NHTSA stop, so nothing changed there. Creeping. Right lane is open if it takes it. Okay. Good, good. And give me a boost. Not bad. Not bad. We had a nice open lane, so it didn't wait on all lanes of traffic to be open to proceed, which is great. And it smoothly went to the right. Didn't have to wait too much. So no problem with that at all. So I've been kind of scouring the internet, X mostly, looking for feedback on this version, because it did go to quite a few people. It wasn't just, you know, a few early OG testers in this situation. So a lot of people got to get out and drive it. And it went to Hardware 3 at the same time as Hardware 4, just like the previous version did. So Tesla AI is definitely harmonizing these releases, at least down to the build number, and releasing them to Hardware 3 and Hardware 4 at the same time, even though Hardware 3 is on a version 12.6.2 now, and Hardware 4 is on version 13.2.5.1. A lot of numbers to memorize, and I know I've made a few mistakes with those when I'm posting on YouTube. Thank you all for the feedback on getting those corrected when you see me make a mistake. I don't mind feedback like that. Actually, I don't mind any feedback. So I'm not the only one that saw some issues yesterday on this version. I documented three disengagements. There was three videos yesterday. There were actually three disengagements. There was one disengagement. I didn't send a highlight clip to X on, but it was part of my full-length video. If you watch that, if you're a subscriber on X or on YouTube, it was available publicly in 4K there. The first disengagement was on my narrow roads test on Birkenhead. And the issue that I had not seen since version 11, version 12 fixed it, and version 13 had been flawless on this point, of on a narrow road, excuse me, with no curb and no right line, just kind of a road turning into grass in the house front yards. It had used to be very jittery and uncomfortable with how much clearance it had on the right side of the road. And it would kind of stay a little too far in the center. And when oncoming cars were coming, that you kind of needed to scoot over and use the full pavement, the car used to kind of jitter around and be very uncertain before it would usually just stop and then proceed after the car passed on its own, the oncoming car passed. Well, yesterday in this clip, there was an oncoming Escalade, so another big vehicle, and I was going one direction, and we were going slow. We were probably going around 10 or 15 miles an hour. And the Model Y, before the Escalade came, it veered towards the Escalade. I turned right and disengaged. In looking at posts, the steering wheel was coming back to the right, but obviously at that point, as a supervisor, you have no idea what's happening, or you're not looking at the screen, you can't really feel anything. In my CAN bus data, I saw a deflection. I think it was a 53 or 54 degrees of steering wheel deflection. Now granted, steering wheel deflection may not be equivalent to degrees on a protractor. I would have to actually determine that. But it came left and then I disengaged and went back right. I don't know why it came left. It's never done that before. And that was kind of why I was highlighting it, is something had changed. Before on version 12 and version 13, once we implemented end-to-end neural networks, it just smoothly drove like a human. This was uncharacteristic of the previous builds. I highlighted that one. Another one I didn't put a highlight clip on X of, but it was part of the video, was my unprotected left-hand turn going into the suicide lane, or the center turn lane, as I should be calling it now. It did the unprotected left-hand turn fine, but it did not wait for the right to be completely clear, and it joined into the center turn lane as the oncoming traffic was coming from its back right quarter panel in the blind spot area to a human, and it was those cars were rapidly approaching. Well, the ego, Tesla, kind of started merging out into the lane of traffic as it ran out of center turn lane space, as if it had no other option but to join the lane, and pushing back and kind of forcing those cars that had the right of way and were going much faster over, kind of like just a blind merge, like I'm coming over regardless of who's there, is what it felt like. And that was my second disengagement, and a completely new behavior. It was kind of not even honoring vehicles that were clearly in the blind spot, even to the effect of I was seeing red in post on the camera, the repeater camera that was shown. So that was a little bit uncharacteristic. And when I look back at that turn, I'm like, you know, in the past, it had either waited till it was completely clear from the left or the right, and then it proceeded. And then it started using the center turn lane as a waiting spot, kind of like the median on my unprotected left turn. But it didn't do that either. It just kind of forced itself into the lane of traffic rather than waiting. Confusing there. Hopefully the Tesla AI team can see that. And I did get some feedback from others on X that had happened to them too. So this wasn't just me perhaps seeing this by myself. And then, so that was the second disengagement. And then the third disengagement was at the very end of a 1 hour long drive. The rest of the drive on highway was actually very good. Didn't have any issues there. I was doing a very typical unprotected left turn forward facing. So I'm at a green light without an arrow and it's waiting on the gap in traffic. And it chose the gap just fine. But as it turned into the neighborhood, instead of staying to the right side of the double yellow line to join that road, it completely just joined the left side as if it was its proper lane. It did kind of say, whoa, something isn't right, and start going back to the right. But as a neighbor was approaching head on and I was in the wrong lane, I disengaged and pulled off to the right. That disengagement was a little bit more to document the disengagement and to try to get the voice note, but I was so close to the destination, I couldn't get the voice note because they don't offer it close to the destination. But definitely joining the wrong side of traffic out of a turn. That was a completely new behavior, and I've done that turn countless times on different vehicles, and it's never done that before. So another emergent behavior that would definitely be a regression. Others have seen that. I've seen that on the Cybertruck. They've been trying to fix that issue for a while, but for it to show up in the Model Y is what's concerning. It's starting to make me wonder, where is this data coming from? Are they really starting to homogenize these data sets so that it's a little bit more universal? I don't know, something like that. Anyway, so that was the third disengagement. It's all available on YouTube. I really encourage you to go watch those if you want to see a little bit more detail. And the Model Y, I've got my HDMI extract screen recorder going, so you can see the screen very clearly. I've got my CAN bus data overlaid, so you can see everything from torque on the axles to steering wheel deflection to a lateral jerk. And I've got a 3D accelerometer and a little blue icon on the lower left that lets you see vertical left and right. And forward and aft accelerations, if you don't know what that display was for. Anyway, a little bit disappointing. So this is my first drive on the Cybertruck on this version, and I really don't know what to expect, but I'm going to expect the same, but maybe it'll be a little bit better. The Cybertruck has been a little bit behind the Model Y in capability anyway, so for it to improve a little bit, even if it was worse than the Model Y, could still be an improvement for this vehicle. Okay, so far so good. That was yesterday's drive. We are, it's 8:30 here in Jacksonville on a Tuesday morning as I go to the service center. And it looks like I'm gonna be late for my appointment, looking at the clock based on some traffic. We are joining rush hour. And this is the Interstate 10 I-95 merge. I've got my blinker on. This truck is coming left. Look at this, wow, this is tight. He's coming over. That was a really good scenario there. I've got my blinker, and now I'm merging over out of this lane. At least it wants to get out of this lane. It did a fine job there. No problem. I like that clip. Now it's gonna go over. Sometimes at this interchange, you know, there's so many lanes, it can go full left or full right or even stay in the middle. You know how in maps, you know, you can kind of, the locals choose the easiest lane to go where you're gonna go? Sometimes I think the Cybertruck, and even the Model Y, I think it's the Tesla planner, chooses the most difficult way to go because that's the way the planner planned it. Yeah, it had to do four lanes of lane change to get into this lane when it didn't need to, because if it had two lanes over, it would have put you in the same spot after we do this, what I call a fleur-de-lis of traffic overpasses for an interstate intersection. And see, it even wanted to get over one more time because this is going to turn into a merge lane. It's going to need to get over eventually just because it chose this path. Anyway, I don't know how to choose that. You know, it kind of gets into that AI memory issue. How do you embed local knowledge for the best lane to use when there's multiple options to get there? And not that it has to use the best lane, but what's going to happen as we come up here is it's going to have to fight its way back over to the right to take the exit it needs to take because it chose this way to get here. So that's kind of advanced planning. And honestly, if you were the first time driving in the city, you might not have known which lane was the best lane. You'd have been just looking at the interstate signs, trying to make sure you take I-95 North, right? And you're sitting there driving, taking I-95 North. That's kind of what the Tesla is doing. But if you see up here in 0.4 miles, I've got to get all the way over to the right. And in rush hour, it's going to be harder to do than on a normal morning. So we're gonna see what happens here. And you see how I've got this gore section? And if I show you the screen, see, I've got my exit coming up hard to the right, and I gotta get this gore section, but fortunately there's a pretty big gap. So if the Cybertruck does a double lane change all at once, it's gonna make it. And it was able to make that only because of that gap, right? You saw that. If that was it, you know, right after that gore section ended, it had to do a double lane change all the way over to the right. So I don't know. What do you guys think about that? This is kind of advanced planning when you have multiple lanes and you kind of need to be in the best lane, and the planner chose the not best lane. I would like to, as a driver, train the vehicle somehow locally to know what was the best one, or at least this is my preferred route. So that I don't end up disengaging as often. But when it works out like that, you know, you could be a naysayer and say, well, it did just fine. What are you worried about? And if it missed it, you're just going to go down to the next exit. Well, I will tell you, in that scenario, if it had missed it, the next exit is about a mile down, and it's an exit under overpass, wait for the light, left turn, wait for the light, left turn, rejoin the interstate, come back up, take another. It would have added at least 5 to 7 minutes onto the trip to do that reroute if it had missed it. Anyway, interesting conversation about the planner. I think it needs something to learn. And I'm really starting to noodle on this a lot with AI memory, with this Google research paper about Titans that came out that is talking about using surprises in the model to store memories, both in kind of a long-term and short-term memory that can be used again, right? So if you're surprised on this drive by how short of a distance you had to get over, or maybe you'd have been surprised because the planner didn't get where you wanted to go because you had to reroute, could you store that in advance in some sort of memory layer so that next time you're planning this route, there's this memory sitting in there that goes, you know, that didn't work well last time. Let's go a different way. And then, you know, kind of probabilistic algorithms or the neural network might be thinking, you got this reward function that has a new parameter to consider when it's choosing its route, right? So that memory could be part of the planner's decision, much like a road closed sign might be a part of a planner's decision when it has that information so that it can make a different decision than it might without that parameter there. Anyway, I'm definitely a layman on the subject. I did read the paper as best I could. Trying to learn about it. I did ask Tesla some engineers about it in private, and they couldn't answer the questions. And they very politely said, we don't talk about technical specifications of our work. So they may be using it and they may not be using it. Anyway, enough thought on that. And now as I'm heading east, let me just apologize for my windscreen. I cleaned the windscreen as best I could in the time I had to not be too late for this appointment so that the recording wouldn't be horrible. My truck lives outside. Because I don't have a garage, and I get pollen and dust. And for those of you that watch all of my videos, you know I'm wrapping my truck right now. So I've got like both doors done and this pillar section done with my matte black wrap, and it's really looking good. I'm not a pro, so it's not pro quality. I mean, if G from Test Bros came out to look at it, he'd probably be like, yeah, you could have done that a little bit better. Some of my edges aren't quite right because I didn't leave enough material because I didn't realize I needed to. Some things like that. But it's looking really good. But my point in saying I'm wrapping the truck there, object in the road, it straddled it, car merging, it all worked out very well, smoothly. But it was dynamic, and what turned it into the dynamic of was that semi turning right there, and then there was a little piece of wood, it looked like, in the road. Now, a piece of wood in the road, my thought is, does it have a nail in it? But the car perfectly straddled it, accidentally, I'm pretty sure. Okay, let me come back. I changed the train of thought there twice. I know if you're listening to this in a podcast, I just had a little traffic integration there that I wanted to talk about. It went well. So if G came out, he would probably talk about my edges. My edges aren't perfect because I didn't know that you need to leave an equal amount over on certain of these panels so that you can fold them over later. And I didn't realize I wasn't leaving enough, I guess, is my point. So there's our direct sunlight as we're heading due east here in Jacksonville. And you can kind of see the swirling on my windscreen. The reason my windscreen was so dirty is, A, I've got a lot of soap solution that was on the windscreen that needed washing off from applying the wrap. B, I leave my car outside. I got a lot of bird poop. And C, as I was cleaning this windshield this morning, it's getting to be springtime here in Jacksonville, and we've had a lot of days for the bees to fly. And there are these tiny little 1 centimeter long yellow bee poop marks on my all over my windscreen, and it's kind of dried pollen poop from the honeybees. Anyway, for those of you that don't know, I'm a beekeeper also, and I have a lot of beehives in my backyard. And as spring kind of starts here, granted we're in late January, but the pollen is blooming now on the maples and stuff. And on warm days like we've had the last day or so, the bees get out and fly. I had bee poop all over my windshield. And much like bird poop, you know, it doesn't come off with just a wipe, you know, it kind of smears. So anyway, that's the basis of why this windscreen is as dirty as it is a combination of bee poop and bird poop and trying to wipe it with as many towels as I can to get it clean. And because I'm, you know, wrapping my truck right now, I can't do a full kind of a car wash like I normally do because the edges and the PPF film is new and you're supposed to wait a little while, I think, before you do anything. And because I'm doing it panel at a time, right, you know, I can't, you know, do it all in one spot like a pro would. This may take a little while to get done based on the weather and my work schedule and all the other factors that go into it. Wow, that was a funny little rant, wasn't it? Talking about bee poop on my windscreen to apologize for how dirty it is. Okay, so why am I going to the Tesla Service Center? First of all, this is a Foundation Series truck. There's been a series of things that needed to be adjusted over time as they found and improved the design features and fixed some issues that were being created. I had gone a few weeks ago to get my drive inverter and some sort of harness cable replaced. And they fixed that just fine. It took it took them a couple days because of, I think, the staffing they had at the Jacksonville Service Center here. And we do have a new service center in my area down in Gainesville. And if any of you listen to this and live in this area, make sure you look up the Gainesville Service Center as another option based on where you live, because it's a new one. Not everybody knows about it, and it's probably just getting staffed up. It might be a great option down there. So they had to take apart my entire bed to get down to where I think that drive inverter cable was and whatever they needed to replace. And when they put the truck back together, they put the big plastic piece in the front of the bed down and bolted it down. It's just a bunch of bolts. And then they put the cooler door, whatever you want to call it, the rear bed storage section on there. And when you lifted that door, it made this horrible plastic creaking noise. Well, that was because it wasn't adjusted with the plastic bed anymore. And the joint of the plastic compartment lifting and the flat part of the bed were pinching each other, making kind of a plastic screech. Well, I could have taken it back and just had them adjust it. They should have adjusted it or tested the door after they put it back together is the first problem. And I did make a recommendation that the service manual should have an action item to verify the door lifts without any impingement with the bed. But I adjusted it, and that was kind of fun for me to take the bed apart and, you know, figure out how the adjustment worked. But a few days later, I realized only my left side, the driver's side, bed lights were now coming on. So I don't know, maybe they didn't clip a clip back in or something like that. So that's the primary reason of me going back to the service center, is to have them verify that why the lights aren't working on the right side of the bed. And more than likely, it's just a clip and they didn't verify that it was working. A little disappointing on that quality of service. But I've talked to the service managers there, and they're very, very nice to me here. Keith, if you watch these videos, you've really, really taken care of me, and I recognize you're probably even giving me special treatment. At least that's the way it feels sometimes. But it's all just to make everybody better, to take good constructive criticism. And the second thing I'm going to have them look at is on that last service visit, they installed my Foundation Series or the Cybertruck wheel covers that I've been waiting on now almost a year, right? Because I got this truck in March last year. And they were installed inconsistently, meaning like it was almost like the technician that put them on didn't realize how they went on. Like what section of the wheel hub do the clips go in, and then the adjustment of the outer ring to actually line up with the Foundation Series off-road tire kind of design features. So I fiddled with them a little bit and adjusted them. Pay attention to the road, Chuck. I am paying attention to the road. Hopefully you don't make me tug. All right, there's the steering wheel. So I'm looking at the road, but I am a little bit blinded from the sun, so I may be squinting a little bit. I could pull my visor down, but it really is a little bit disappointing that you didn't allow me to squint. In any case, I took my wheel covers off myself, kind of learned a little bit how they worked. And on the inside, there's two separate parts. There's an inner ring and kind of an outer ring. And the inner ring is what kind of clamps on to the wheel hub. And the outer ring has the whole cover and kind of allows a little bit of rotation. Well, there's clips that hold the inner ring to the outer ring, and they kind of expand outwards onto the outer ring with the way it's designed. Well, some of those plastic clips were broken. And I'm kind of like, well, it still functioned with a broken clip. But since I was coming back to the service center to have the lights looked at, I was just going to have them give me a wheel cover that actually doesn't have any broken clips on it and is installed properly. I've heard a lot of feedback from folks getting their wheel covers installed for the first time, and some service centers know exactly how to do it, and some service centers perhaps don't or are doing it inconsistently. So that's probably a learning curve for technicians as they come onto the job to know how they're installed. I will say, looking at the engineering of these wheel covers, it doesn't surprise me that it's a little confusing. There's a lot of parts in that wheel cover that will break, that will move, that, you know. So I don't know. It looks over-engineered if you ask me. And deep down, I'm wondering if I'm even going to leave them on if I continue to have problems with them. I kind of got to where I liked the look of the wheel covers, as long as you had kind of a little hub cover like I had ended up with. But I don't know. It's kind of... I've seen some videos where, you know, they're popping off and flying if you hit a curb, you know, so if you're curbing your wheels or if FSD curbs your wheels, these things pop off. Obviously, they're designed, you know, for movement and things like that. So I don't know. What do you guys think about the wheel covers? They look nice from a distance, but I kind of got to where I didn't mind the look of the hubs as long as they were, you know, nice and black and kept clean and things like that. I can't actually tell any performance difference. Maybe you guys have measured it. Obviously, there probably should be an aerodynamic improvement with the wheel covers on versus off. But some accessory companies have been asking me if I want to look at the caliper covers, you know, red or yellow brake caliper covers for the Cybertruck. But obviously, a caliper cover is not going to show through if you got a wheel cover on, so I didn't bother doing it. Not to mention, I don't even know how to lift the Cybertruck up in my driveway. I guess I can get my regular old floor jack and lift it up on a hard point, but this is a big truck to take a tire off of. And maybe even if I got the tire off, you know, getting it off the hub, I mean, that thing's got to be heavy. Have any of you guys taken the tires off yourself? Do you think it's doable? I don't know. I'm not really sure if I want to try it. I may just have either Discount Tire or the Tesla service center do it. I talked to a mobile service tech from Tesla, and they don't even have the equipment to do tire rotations in your driveway on the Cybertruck yet. Don't know if that's going to be possible in the future or not. Has anybody else had their tires rotated in their driveway by a service tech in any other parts of the country? That's a question I have. I'd love some feedback on that. Okay, so we are 6 minutes out from the Tesla service center. This has been an intervention-free drive. I would say, granted, this is not my first impressions drive, so it does not have the same obstacles that the Model Y did, but it's so far it's been a good drive. So I'm going to give them credit where credit's due. The Cybertruck has been acting very smooth. It made, you know, decent lane change decisions. We talked about the planner issue that worked but wasn't optimal in my mind, and that is a higher level solution than we currently have implemented with the planner. Yeah, I don't know. You know, I hadn't seen any Tesla ADAS drivers out testing any of the software, which brings up an interesting point, right? The first V13 regression that I have gotten anyway, or at least that I was willing to call a step backwards on the Model Y, was the first version to be released where I didn't have any documented evidence of them validating anything on my turn in the last week. Now, maybe there's a chance I missed them, or maybe there's a chance they didn't drive in front of my camera because they didn't want to be seen. But it is a little bit of a question mark to say, did they skip a QA step on this build number because it was such a small point release? And skipping that step maybe allowed these regressions to get in the customer hands. Now, I did see on X this morning, I think TeslaScope reported another wave of this version going out, I think to another 10% of the fleet. So it does look like they're not stopping the release based off of feedback that is being posted on X. I have mixed feelings about that. I do know that the folks on Hardware 3, you should probably get version 2.6.2 because I know it's much better than 12.5 0.4, 0.2. I hope I got that right. I know I messed up those numbers, but my point is, I know you want to go to 12.6, not 12.4. And you should, even if there are issues. That is a much better improvement. But I'm not so sure that this, you know, 13.25 is any better than 13.24. I think it's worse even. So to continue to roll it out means you've got another strategy going, or it's not as bad as I said it was on the first drive in the Model Y, or there's something else going on. Believe me, I am not the thumbs up, thumbs down decision maker in this. No matter what I put it out for everyone to know. If you do get this software, this is what could happen, so you can be better prepared driving and supervising your own vehicle. I do not want to be that person making those decisions or even implying that they should be listening to what I'm saying. I'm just putting it out there because the engineers have actually personally asked me to keep doing it. So I'm going to keep doing it. Okay, as we approach the service center here, we have an unprotected forward-facing left turn to turn into the Tesla service center. And while we're sitting here, I don't know if you can see in the wide-angle camera, nice little row of, 10 Cybertrucks on the left. Last time I was here, the entire front row was Cybertrucks, and they had disappeared 3 days later. So Cybertruck delivery inventory looks like it's moving well here at the service center. Obviously, you see a lot of Cybertrucks in the lot, and you're worried that they're sitting and not selling. Last time I was here, there were 38 Cybertrucks lined up when I dropped my car off, and I posted that video, and everybody thought, oh, look, the Cybertrucks aren't selling. Where I came to pick my truck up 2 days later, they were all gone. So, just to say, Cybertrucks are selling. All right, here's our gap. We got one more car waiting, and it is waiting. Interesting, we have a pedestrian on the upper right-hand corner. Is she going to cross and give an intent? The car almost acted like it was waiting on her as it came in to this turn. That was good, nice and smooth. Wasn't like a Model Y commitment kind of a decision. It just kind of started slowly moving. And here we are. So the Cybertruck gave us a robo-taxi ride to the service center. I am going to cut it here. Thank you guys for watching today. Leave comments below. I know I asked a lot of questions there, but I'd love some feedback from you guys on what you think. Any case, have a great day, everybody, and we'll see you soon.